Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship here at Second Baptist Church. My name is Jonathan, and I have the privilege of serving as associate pastor here at Second Baptist. And I want to extend a very special welcome to our guests today, whether here in person or online. We're so excited that you chose to join us today. We'd love to get some more information about you. So there in your pew back in front of you, there's a slip of paper. If you could take that out at some point in the service and fill it out. Let me say this, though. If you're a college student today, we are having Tech Sunday today. So if you're a college student today, I have a different way for you to fill that out a little bit later at the cookout. So don't worry about that today. But if you are a guest here, please do that. The piece of paper in the pew back in front of you, fill that out. And as we exit today, you can place that in the offering plate. Or if you're watching online, there on our website at sbcr.org, we have a button that says I'm new. If you would click that and fill out that form, we'd love to have more information about you and how we can better connect with you and better serve you. As I said earlier, it's Tech Sunday, so we're excited to have many college students that are returning and those that are new here to Russellville area. We appreciate y'all being here, and I want to invite you that immediately following the service today, we have a cookout. We have hot dogs and hamburgers and the fixings, and so I want to invite you to stay for that, and I want to invite the rest of our church family to stay. It's not just for the college students, but we want everybody to stay. We have plenty of food, so plan to do that. Immediately following the service, we'll go out back. Everything will be outside, and you can enjoy a hamburger or a hot dog and some good fellowship. College students, I do want to give you a few things that are happening that we are involved with. Tomorrow evening from 6 to 8, there's the involvement fair over on campus, and we will have a table there, and we want to invite you to come and be a part of that. We're going to play Plinko, and we have gift cards and other prizes, so we encourage you to come by and get some more goodies there by our table from 6 to 8 on campus. Also on Thursday, we'll be tabling on campus from 11 to 1, so go ahead and come by and chat with us. We'd love to see you again. And then I do want to say that next Sunday, we are planning to be back over at Doc Brine to pick up students. We picked up a few this morning. We want to have that service to you. If you don't have a vehicle or you're not familiar with where we're at, we'd love to give you a ride. And then the last thing that I wanted to remind you or tell you about is that not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, August 25th, we are going to have our first college worship service on Wednesday night up in the youth room. We'll have food at 7:30, and the worship service will begin at 8 o'clock. I want to invite you to be a part of that. All right. I know that's a lot. I still got a few more things, so bear with me this morning before we jump into the worship time. Church family, I just want to, again, remind you, cookout is for y'all as well, so please plan to stay. We do have our quarterly family meeting tonight at 5 o'clock, so plan to be back for that. This Wednesday, the 18th, we will have our Wednesday night kickoff for our children's ministry activity. So be here at 5:30. We're going to have a cookout again, some games, and just have a good time of fellowship and getting kids ready to go for our 25th, really getting into our children's ministry activities on August the 25th. The last thing that I think I want to mention this morning, I wrote everything down. So the last thing I want to mention is Pastor Chris will begin the Young Professionals class on September the 1st. So be aware of that, those of you who were involved with that in the past, but also invite people to be a part of that. Young Professionals, September 1st. All right, that was a lot of information. I know y'all are going to retain every bit of that. I know online you're like, okay, let's get into worship. So let's do that right now. Let's pause and let's gather ourselves and let's place our focus on God and this time that we're about to engage in to worship the creator of all things, the one true God. So if you will, please bow your heads and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, you are great and awesome, and there is no one like you. And we want to give you the praise this morning because you are a good God, and you bless us beyond what we deserve. We are thankful for the opportunity to be here today and to sing praises to your name. And I pray, Father, that as your word says, that you inhabit the praise of your people. And I pray that that would be the case here this morning. Father, we long for your presence here. We need it. And we pray that as we go throughout this service, that we would sense your spirit moving in such a way that, God, our hearts would be just enthralled, more enthralled with you. And as we leave this place, we'll be changed. Father, you are good again. I just want to say that you are gracious and kind, and we're so thankful that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us and sing?
Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Springs of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, and sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon, it, mount of thy redeeming love. I was lost in utter darkness, till you came and rescued me. I was bound by all my sin, when your love came and set me free. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never be alone. Come thou fount, come thou king. Come thou precious Prince of Peace, hear your bride to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing, come thou fount, come thou King. Come thou precious Prince of Peace, hear your bride to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a feather bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Come thou fount, come thou King. Come thou precious Prince of Peace, hear your bride to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing, come thou fount, come thou King. Come thou precious Prince of Peace, hear your bride to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing.
Amen. He is the fount of our every blessing this morning. He is the King of Kings. Sing with us this wonderful new song.
Darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, reigns forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of You rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, reigns forever to the King of Kings. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings, praise forever to the King.
Thank you. You may be seated this morning.
All right. Well, good morning. Glad that you are here. And let me say, just quickly knock a chair over and make it look really smooth this morning. So, hey, my name's Chris. I get the privilege to be senior pastor here at Second Baptist. And so I know we have several guests here. So I just want to say, hey, thanks for being here. I got several familiar faces, different groups of folks, a lot of college students, some of our basketball guys here, and some cross country and robotics and all sorts of groups here, just different students. Hey, thanks for being here. And let me just say real quickly, this we've had behind us is our new logo, and I'll brag on Brant. He's helped us with all of that and just some rebranding. But this, Your Second Family, is not just some cheesy slogan for us. We really believe this. We want this to be true in your life. And so, nonetheless, I've got to keep moving. I'm not preaching today, per se. I will kind of wrap things up at the end for us. But we are doing things a little bit different this morning, and you're going to figure out a little bit of why. But we have Brant and Kara with us this morning, and so before we get started, we're going to do some Q&A for the next 15 minutes or so, and hear from them, hear from their heart. I hope you're excited about just hearing some of their story. It's really incredible what God's doing in and through their life, how He's been using them. You're going to get to hear a little snippet of that this morning, and then Brant's going to share with us a little bit later from the Word, and just some things about the call and the call in our lives, etc. But I do want to say this, that we've got some predetermined questions we're going to talk through. But I think we've got on the screen here, we've got a number for you to text. Now, if you want to text in a question, this may go terribly wrong, okay? But the idea is you may be able to live text in a question. I'll get that, and hopefully we can work a few of those in. If not, we probably have more information than we have our time to cover. So with that, let me pray quickly, and then we'll jump into it, all right? God, You're gracious and kind. Thank You for this day. Thank You for Brant and Kara and their family. God, Elizabeth and Nelson, and God, just pray You bless them, minister to them. And Lord, I just pray that everything we say and do today, it would bring honor and glory to You, Lord Jesus. We ask this in Your name. Amen. Okay. All right. Well, let's jump into it. Other than Brant and Kara, who are you?
Do you want to answer that one? We are also, we have two kiddos that are 3 and 11 months old who do not sleep. So if I got to like get my energy up, you can blame them. But it's Elizabeth and Nelson. We are actually from Russellville, born and raised. And went to high school here, and we actually graduated from RHS and then went to Tech. So seeing all you Tech students come in, I immediately was like, oh, I'm just like that. Like, I remember that like it was yesterday, and then I quickly remembered that that was years, almost right. A decade ago for me, which makes me feel very old. But I love seeing so many new faces, so many college students that are here. It's a flashback for us for sure.
Cool. All right, so tell us, tell us briefly a little bit what you do to launch into. How did you get here? How are y'all at this stage in your life?
She turns and looks at me.
I'm the introvert of our family. So we are, should I go into where we are? Okay. We have been serving with the International Mission Board for 6 years now. And so we are currently being shipped off soon, I guess.
It's
a long story, I guess.
Yeah, we have 15 minutes. So whenever we graduated from Tech, Kara graduated with a middle-level education degree. I graduated with a political science degree, and then I went to be a photographer. So totally made sense. We've used none of it. But nonetheless, we had a great experience there, and then I felt like the Lord was calling me to be a photographer here in Russellville for my whole life. I was happy. It was what I wanted to be as like a fifth grader. So I like had fulfilled my dream at the ripe age of 20, doing the job that I wanted. As time progressed, even as a photographer here in Russellville, we saw that the Lord was beginning to shape our hearts and transition us to a new ministry, a new stage of life. So that was as we went to Rome, Italy first. And then we said, okay, we'll go for just a couple years. We primed our family for just a couple years. And they said, we'll come back. And then the Lord continued to say, hey, you know, I'm calling you to stay here. So then we moved to a city in northern Italy called Trento. And we've lived there for the last 3 years. And then because of COVID, we had to come back pretty quickly. And then we've been in transition here for quite a while, as many of you know. And so we are headed off to the UK next.
Cool. All right, so let me hit pause a little bit and explain a few things. Just because I realize, we reference International Mission Board. For those that may not be aware, for Southern Baptists, one of the things that makes Southern Baptist distinctive is a deep, deep conviction of missions to go around the world, either across the pond or right here at home, and take the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that he came, lived a sinless, perfect life, died on the cross, raised from the grave, to provide salvation to anyone who will believe. That message, what Southern Baptists have said, we believe that's so important. We cooperate, we work together to take that message. One of the means in which we do that, one of our tools, is a cooperative program where everybody sends dollars to this cooperative program, and it funds organizations or arms of Southern Baptists called the International Mission Board. So then what that does is we come alongside, we support cooperative missions, we support Southern Baptist Convention, and along with our 46,000 plus Southern Baptist churches. And what that does is it helps provide the means, salary and ministry dollars, for couples like Kara and Brant to go and do the mission work. So because of that, because many of you and you're giving in here and then giving around the Southern Baptist life as a whole, honestly, for these 6 years, they've been your missionaries. Whether you knew it or not, they are your missionaries. Now, we've been praying for you guys for a long time. The church has been praying many years now. So that kind of just as a pause to kind of give you a brief window into how's this relevant to us. Cool, they went and lived in Italy. Right. That's pretty sweet. But what does that mean for us, and how is that a part? So with that, what you mentioned, you're going over to the UK very soon. Been waiting on this for a while. They're headed over to the UK. What are you going to be doing there? What does life ministry look like for you?
So just to even give a little bit of backstory, why Europe? I know whenever we get to share at other different or in different places, we often hear, why Europe? Don't they already know Jesus? Isn't the gospel already there? It's not necessarily your quintessential place whenever you think of missions. So why do we go there originally? There's a map that I'm going to show you, but it'll show the whole entire Europe, and it looks very dark, if you will. And if you could see those little bitty blue dots, those are essentially population distribution. So if we look at how many evangelicals are actually there, which would be the next slide, you'll see these little yellow dots appear. Oh, but there's not very many of them. So right now, statistically, less than 1% of Europeans are born-again believers. Okay, so let that sink in for a second. If I was to fill 100 of us in a room, one of you would be a believer, okay? And that statistic broke our hearts. So that when we moved there, that was our original. We saw the loss, and we saw that that was not necessarily where a lot of people were headed. So we said, okay, Lord, we'll go there. As time progressed, we worked with college ministry, and that was really cool. But God started showing me ways that I could use some of the, maybe the gifts or the talents or the passions that I had, even as a photographer or during our years as college ministry, teaching. I mean, there's so many different aspects of over the years to then he kind of provided this job for me with the International Mission Board, where if I gave you my fancy title, it'd be a digital pathway catalyst. Now, what does that mean? We're still figuring that out. But I do have a video that I'm going to actually play because it actually explains what I do better than if I were to ever try to explain it. Hopefully.
People are searching for everything online. Good recipes, advice, quick fixes, not so quick fixes. Even answers to some of life's biggest questions. As people search for answers, we want them to find gospel truth and connect with people who can disciple them. Because the reality is, people are asking whether someone is there to answer or not. God has given us digital media to share his good news with the world, because people everywhere are already using it. That's why now is the time to leverage media to start disciple-making movements. We call it Media to Movements. Media to Movements is the strategic use of digital media to identify people on a spiritual journey to Christ and connect them with disciple makers, who, in turn, equip them to reach their family and friends with the gospel. It starts here. But really, it goes back to this. All for the sake of the gospel. It's happening all over the world. Explore how media can accelerate disciple-making where you live.
Yeah, so I get the opportunity to train other missionaries, other national believers throughout Europe, how to use tools like Facebook, like Instagram, YouTube, all these social media tools to spread the gospel amongst Europe. So it's a really cool job. It's new. There's challenges, but we are seeing how even before COVID, but definitely during COVID, people are searching for truth. They're lonely. They're at their homes. We all know how many hours we spend scrolling Facebook. So we're looking at ways that we can insert good gospel truth into their news feeds.
Good. Okay. All right. So let's hit maybe pause on the nitty-gritty, the details, the business side of it. So obviously pretty big transition moving from Russellville to Italy, I would assume.
Yeah.
What have been some of the strange things as far as living outside of the United States, going from one culture to a completely different culture? What's been some of the strange or funny things that have happened along the way?
This is such a minor one, but what time we eat. I feel like we were always the ones opening. So what time do you normally eat? 5 o'clock here in America. They eat at like 7:30 or 8 and that's what time I go to bed normally. I'm getting ready for bed at that time.
Yeah.
We were literally always opening up the restaurants. We were sitting outside waiting for them to click it at 7:30 for us to go and eat because we were so hungry.
Yeah,
but that was something we did not realize when we were going there.
No.
There is no chicken Alfredo there.
No. All the waiters and all the waitresses knew us, though. Because, there's the Americans. They're waiting at the door like, hey, let us in. We're hungry. Strategic, right?
Yeah, well, they knew as well.
Yeah.
Well done. Well, any other, what's maybe one of those big hurdles as far as going into a new culture? What's one of those, and maybe even right now thinking, here we go again, jumping into the UK. What's one of those maybe hurdles that we don't think much about?
I think the Lord strips us from our American mentality. And it's a hard thing for us to do. We were never Italian. I could dress exactly like my best friend there. And we wear the same thing, but they automatically knew that I wasn't Italian. So I could never fit in super well. But the Lord slowly stripped away our identity, and he kind of rebuilt us back up. And it wasn't Italian, and it wasn't American, but it was truly who he wanted us to be. And I think that was the hardest thing for us, was finding that. And the language is hard. When you can't speak, it's a hard thing to do.
I think just to the unknown. It's the same thing. We're going to the UK, they speak English, so there's that side, we're thankful for that. But just the unknown. I mean, it's any person at any stage of life. It doesn't matter if you're a missionary, you're a college student arriving, in a new campus, you're moving to a new city because of work. It's hard. It's new. And so you go, you kind of find yourself going like, some of our nieces or nephews are here, they're going to start kindergarten, and they're going, am I going to have any friends? Yes, God's going to provide those people at the right time, but that doesn't mean that we're not still fearful. We know God is so faithful, and we've seen that play out time and time again. But we're still human, and so we step into these unknown situations, and we go, man, the isolation, those first couple months going, we don't really have any friends. It comes later, but that transition's hard.
Gotcha.
It really is. I remember that in college, too. The same feeling of, is he going to provide this? But you look back, and you say, oh, God had it all the time. He had it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good. Good. All right, so we got just a few more minutes, maybe another question or two, but if you do have a question, you can text that number, and we'll try to fit it in into part of this. But all right, so how long are you, what does this transition look like? How long are you going to be in the UK?
whoever knows. We stopped putting time constraints on it because I think it was easier for us. To be honest, we don't know. We do have a 3-year visa. So we'll at least be there 3 years. We'll be back. We don't want to stay away long. So we'll be back in here at some point for sure. But 3 years at the moment, and then we'll see where God leads us.
Okay, cool. All right, so we did have a text question sent in, and not specifically related to what you do per se, but I think you'll be able to do well to speak into this, especially with as many transitions as you guys have had to go through. But this was a question. Why is it getting plugged into a church important for college students? Hey, listen, I promise, I didn't set this up, all right? I know some of y'all are like, yeah, he done texted somebody and was like, hey, send this in, but I promise, I didn't. A lot of experience transitioning. So just quickly speak to that.
So I can speak to it to two different elements. As we were working with college students in Rome and then in Trento, we always encouraged our students to get plugged into a local church. Why? Because they needed community. And because they had friends, yes, on campus, it's great. And I hope and I pray that everyone finds good connection there. But there is something special about when you insert yourself into a... whose was it? I think it was mine.
Maybe so.
I could talk extra loud or
there you go.
Take care of us. Where was I? Oh, getting plugged in, though. And so we saw our students who got plugged in and exposed themselves or were around those people who are older, who may be younger, who can serve in the younger areas for the children's, but who can learn from those who are wiser, maybe have a little bit more gray hair. Those are the students who thrived. And not maybe just in academics or in social life, but they thrive as in Christ, in their identity. And we saw those students who, their fulfillment in life, they didn't struggle with that near as much. Because they knew that they were where they had a place. And it was in Christ, but it was also with the body of believers.
Good, good. And I will say, too, that obviously we read, look at a lot of this and a lot of reports, a lot of research, all that kind of thing. The statistics, college students, the statistics are overwhelming as far as it relates to within the first 2 to 3 weeks of your college semester. You're really, as a freshman, but the year as a whole, you set the stage for, if some of you freshmen, you're going to set the stage for your entire college career within the first 2 to 3 weeks. I shared that with maybe some cross-country girls or volleyball girls, I'm not sure which, at an event we had recently, and some of them were like, oh man, it was volleyball. We were providing a meal for them and just saying, hey, here's what stats say. And they were like, oh man, that makes me think about being strategic with my choices in the next 10, 12, 14, 18 days. What I'm going to be a part of. And so I just want to encourage you to get plugged in, lock in somewhere, and make it a part of your life and your routine. Awesome. Well, what I want to do is I want to pray for us. We're going to transition. We're going to have a special music in just a moment, and then Brant will come back, and he's going to share from his heart and the Word as it relates to this gospel and the call to that. But if you want to, let's just show a moment of appreciation for them coming and being here. All right. Well, let me pray, and then we're going to continue on. Lord, you're gracious and kind. Thank you for today. Thank you for Brant and Kara and their family. I pray, God, you'd minister to them. Just thank you for them coming and sharing their heart and, God, getting a peek into, God, this world that many of us will never know. But God, as we pray and we give, we get a small portion to help hold their arms up as they go and fight the battle and push back darkness. And Lord, we just love you. We praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So Becca and I would like to lead you in a song this morning. It speaks to what Brant and Kara, they have experienced and will experience as all of us do, as God calls us to go to the unknown. We have the opportunity to step out on faith. And so I want to encourage you to listen to these words. You probably know the song. The words will be on the screen. We also invite you to sing along with us as we sing Oceans.
call me out upon the waters, the great unknown. My feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep. My faith will stand, I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start now. Call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Above the waves,
soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine.
Well, good. I'm working. Let's see. Test, test. I'm on. Good. Well, good morning again. I don't have to do an introduction because we've already gotten there. Give me just a second as all of my prayer cards fall out of my Bible. Well, this morning, if this is your first week, well, you get kind of lucky, I guess, because we'll be out early or on time. Normally, Chris will run us out. I'm just kidding. He does a good job. But it is a privilege to get to speak this morning and share just from my heart a little bit. I had the privilege of a couple weeks ago going to Camp Perrin and sharing with some youth students a very similar message. And honestly, as I began to prep, the Lord just continued to lay what I'd spoken to them to share with you all today. So maybe it'll be a youth version. I don't know. Hopefully it's an adult version. But I'm kind of disappointed in Chris just a little bit because he had given me some preloaded questions to kind of, I guess, prep us and give us some ideas. And one of them was like maybe a funny story, or I forget how I even word the question. So Kara and I last night were sitting there going, okay, what's maybe a funny story? What's something? And it was one of the stories that I love about our time in Rome is when we first moved there, we arrived to town. We didn't obviously know anyone. We definitely did not speak the language. We knew our numbers, but that gets you nowhere. So when we arrived to Rome, we drop our bags off. We go, and then the first couple weeks, you're just kind of learning everything, how to get to the grocery store, how to pay for this, how to just do normal life. Well, obviously, you don't learn everything immediately. It's kind of like a child. You learn things slowly, slowly, slowly. Well, also, too, just because Brant is an extrovert in English and in America, that does not mean that Brant was right away an extrovert in Italian in Italy. So the longer we were kind of there, my wife lovingly was like, hey, Brant. And I'm like, yeah. She says, your hair is bad. And I'm like, okay. She's like, you need to get it cut. I'm like, okay. Well, to give you a little bit of background, my sister is a hairstylist, so I haven't even gone to a barber shop or anything in a long time, so much less gone to one in a foreign country. And there is nothing more terrifying than walking into a barber, having no language, and trying to explain, hey, cut my hair, and then having to sit in that seat. Because they're going to cut it, and they're going to start asking you questions, just like any good barber does. But I'm like, I don't know what to say. So it's awkward. So one time I tried to step in there, freaked out, didn't even make it to the door. I was like, okay, fine. So I get home, I'm like, if my hair is bad enough, we're going to cut it tonight. So I'm like, we got this. I've seen her do it 1,000 times. So we start going after it. Mind you, we probably should have started out with a longer blade than what we did. I was like, come on, I know it's like a one guard. So we just start, jink. I'm like, oh no, this is not good. To which we then call my sister, and praise the Lord, we were missionaries in 2020, where there's FaceTime. So like, hey, look at this. What have we done wrong? She's like, she just starts laughing. Lots of help. But then she does begin to give us advice on how to like try and fix this hair. I was tempted to even throw the picture up, but I didn't because I think I would turn bright red and I wouldn't be able to say anything else. Let's just say by the end of it, my hair was about bald from here, and then I had this nice little mohawk that went like this, and I was like, it's okay, my hair grows out fast. It took a long time to grow out. We learned very quickly that our calling was not to be hairstylists, which I tell this stupid story because there are funny moments like that. But it was one of those, whenever I was in light of what I was going to be saying today and the funny story that I had thought about, I was like, it is true. God did not call Brant to be a hairstylist, but he did call me in other ways. So today we're going to look just briefly, really briefly, at calling. You know, if I'm sitting here in a question and answer, if I had someone probably counting, I'd probably say, we were called, or We felt God's calling in our lives. You probably heard it multiple times. So what is that? Let's unpack that just for a moment. So the title is today is Ring Ring God's Calling. And it's cheesy, I get it. But our number one that we're going to start out with is the 911 call. This is whenever there's an emergency, okay? So what is the emergency? The emergency is that for all of us, we were born sinners, separated from Christ, because God is perfect. And because of the fall, sin crept in, and though we did nothing to begin with, we learned and we sinned along the way. Trust me, no one taught you how to sin. We see that in our three-year-old. No one taught her how to sin, but she figured it out. It is a part of our nature. So why do I call it the 911 call? Because it's an emergency. If you're here today and you've heard us talk in question answer, or you hear us even to this point, someone is probably out there going, what is he even talking about? Why is this even, why would you go across the world? Why would you do the uncomfortable thing of leaving your family, your business, whatever it could be? It's because that emergency call for us, we heard it ring because we had a phone. We had a church. We had believers in our lives. We had the Bible. So we heard that phone. We were able to know what it took to have salvation in Christ alone through grace because we had that. There are hundreds of thousands of people every single day who will wake up, they will spend their whole life, and they will die, and they will never hear that truth because they have no way to know it. So today, when we're talking about the call, the Bible unquestionably speaks the most to the call of salvation. We look at it in Matthew 4:18-22, as Jesus calls his first disciples. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. We keep going, but we see how God calls them to repentance. He calls them to himself. We could look at it again in Acts 2:39. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So I'm here today to tell you, the phone is ringing. The 911 call is ringing. God is saying, hey, if you have not made that part, if you've not settled that part with Christ, if you are not saved, then I'm going to continue to talk about other callings, but that is the first step. Once we've answered that call of salvation in Christ, we can know that our foundation is firm and secure because our identity is found in our call of salvation in Christ, nothing else. The second one, call this a not-so-top-secret call. You know, I think it's more of like the missional call, and so I'm thinking, oh, spies, but it's really not top-secret because we all have it. But the reason I still want to call it our top-secret call is just like in all the movies, when there's a top-secret mission that you have to go and you get the call, guess what? They make it a priority. Nobody gets a top-secret mission call and goes, yeah, I'll deal with it later. Okay, it is priority. But here's the deal. It's not so secret because I'm telling you right now, you all have the same call. When we answer our call to salvation, we get our second call, and that is our call to missions. Now, I love this part because, spoiler alert, it's not what you probably have heard a missionary say before, but the call to missions is not just for a select few. Yes, we were called out as missionaries to go to Italy and now to go to the UK to share the gospel. But the call to spread the gospel amongst the nations doesn't make me a missionary. It makes me a Christian. Let me say that again. The call to spread the gospel among the nations doesn't make me a missionary. It makes me a Christian. I love this quote by David Platt. I think I actually put it up on the screen for you. It says, yeah, every one of us who have been called to salvation in Christ have been called to mission for Christ. We've been called to make disciples of the nations. So the question is not, are we called, but rather, where do we do this? How do we do this? When we understand this, it affects the way we understand other aspects of calling. We're called to salvation, then flowing from that, we're called to mission. I mean, this is where I do step back into the classic missionary speaking and say, this is when the Great Commission, it calls us to go and make disciples of all nations. We look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Friends, hear me clearly. We will never be able to reach the missions if the church does not understand that the call to missions is for every one of us. I said it earlier, but it breaks our heart to know that only 1% of Europeans will spend eternity with Christ. But let's look at the globe. Millions. If we want to talk about a pandemic that should cause us to worry, it's that. It's that people are dying with a cure available, but they don't know it. We have to, as a church, as believers, as we are saved, we have to retrain our minds to go, our call is to go to the nations. Now, what does that mean? That may mean the nations is your next door neighbor. That may mean the nations is in Vietnam. Okay? And everything in between. The third one I want to look at real quickly. Call it our superhero call. My daughter was looking over my shoulder as I was finishing up everything, and she was very excited about The Incredibles. So why do I throw The Incredibles up there? If any of you have seen this movie, which, you know, grown-up shows, what are those? We're all about kid shows right now. But The Incredibles, all of the different family members have a different superpower. Okay? Now, some of them are kind of jealous of the other one, but they all have something that they're equipped to do. So when we talk about this superhero call, or the service call, if you will, this one is different than the first two. The first two are non-optional. You need salvation, okay? That one's not an option. Your second one, you're called to go, not an option. This one actually does look a little bit differently. This one is the cool one because this one reminds us that God created each and every one of us differently, and that's good. As he calls us to himself, he doesn't all of a sudden go, okay, now you're a believer, now turn into a robot. Here's how you have to be exactly. No, we still get to be the believer who's really good at art. We get to be the believer who's really good at music, sports, athletics, running, basketball. We get to keep those. But friends, let me tell you, he lets us keep those, and he gives us those different talents, gifts, passions for his glory, not for yours. There's another quote by David Platt that I want to read off. He directs us, and I'll read it twice because it is complicated. He directs certain believers to make disciples in certain ways, at certain time, among certain people, in certain locations, through certain vocations. Let me read that again. He directs certain believers to make disciples in certain ways, at certain times, among certain people, in certain locations, through certain vocations. It's a lot of certain. So how do we know if God's calling us to service in ministry? Or how? How is he calling us to do it in this certain way? How is he? Well, first and foremost, we got to pray. Believers, I'm begging you, take a moment and pray. God, where are you calling me? How are you calling me to use my love of this for your glory? You know? And then I'm going to challenge you to do something too. Once you pray, stop and wait and listen. You know, I think Karen and I were talking about it last night. Americans kind of have a rap in Europe about how they talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and they don't know how to be quiet. They don't know how to be still for 2 seconds. So I want to challenge you, as you pray this, stop, pause, and listen for God to respond. Well, how is he going to respond? You know, God responds a lot of times through his word. If you're not in it, it's going to be hard sometimes to know. Now, granted, I pray all the time sometimes for these big decisions that we make, namely whenever he's calling us to move to another place around the world. I'm going, God, please put it up in the sky. Hadn't done it yet. Still asked for it, though. But when we're in his word, he confirms his calling in our lives. Being a part of a church, being amongst believers, it's really hard sometimes whenever you're always in isolation, in your own head, trying to figure these things out. But if you will surround yourself with believers, older, younger, more mature, maybe new believers, you can encourage one another and people can speak into your lives. Lastly, I love this because there's kids in the room. Know who you are. God did gift you in certain ways. He gave you these certain talents. And once we're believers, we also get spiritual gifts. But we get those for the kingdom. So I'm almost done. But I want to stop with looking at 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 3. Now, it's a little bit of an interesting choice. I get it. It's the first part of Corinthians. It's the part where they give the introduction, if you will. And usually, if you're like me, you'll go to that book of the Bible and you'll start it and you'll read the introduction. You're like, yeah, it's a letter to so, you know, whatever. Okay. But if we stop for 2 seconds and look at 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 3, it says, and I won't actually read the full thing, I'll stop midway. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and our brother, I call him S because I have no clue how to pronounce his name, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, and called to be his holy people, together with all those, everyone who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And then he continues. But let's look at verse 1 just real quickly again. It says, Paul, so we're naming who it is, called to be an apostle. God gave him the calling to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. So I want to do something, and it's not necessarily the best practice to always do with the Bible, but I think it proves my point just a little, and will stop us down or slow us down for just 2 seconds. Let's replace Paul for just a second with your name. You know, I'll do me, for example. I'm Brant, called by God to be a digital Facebook social media guru, if you will, for the glory of Jesus. Okay? You may be John, called by God to be a teacher for the glory of God. You may be Elsie, student, called by God for the glory of Jesus. You may be Carson, the sports fanatic, called by God for the glory of Jesus. God has called you. He has given you these things for his glory. I want to encourage you. The nations, Russellville, Arkansas Tech, they need Jesus. It is not coincidence that you are here in this place at this time for a reason. So pause for a second. Students who are just stepping into your freshman year, now's the best time. What are your priorities? Chris said it, but it is. It's true. If you don't nail down what are your priorities, and you get to make the decision. Explore your superhero call. I do want to stop here. I'll pray for us before we go. I want to thank from the bottom of our hearts on behalf of Kara and myself for the time that we have gotten to spend here in these hallways, sitting on these pews, and being with you. Students, it's a great place to be. There are people who are ready to love on you. We have received that love in abundance, and we are forever grateful. My brother-in-law once told me, in situations like this, I have to be a waffle, and I have to compartmentalize. We leave this week, so I'm very bad at compartmentalizing, so if I go down it too far, I'll get emotional. So I will leave it at that, but I am very, very grateful for this time. I want to pray for us before I turn it over to Chris, and just pray for all of us to take a moment and to first explore our hearts. Have we made that decision to follow Christ? If not, I pray that that is burdened on your heart today. Then to go, okay, God, how am I reaching the nations? How am I being an intentional believer? And then lastly, how can I use my gifts? God, you are good. God, what a blessing it is that we can be here today together. God, we have the word in our hands. We have believers around us who can encourage us, who can teach us. God, I thank you for just the blessing that that is and the gift that that is. God, I do pray for every person that is here. God, for every person that is online watching. God, I pray that you would just touch their heart. God, I pray that nothing that I said sticks, but God, anything that you've said through me would just be stamped on their heart. God, I pray for just that tug, that uncomfortable feeling of you just going, hey, accept my free gift. You've never done that before. God, I pray that if that's someone there today, that they would be bold enough to make that decision. God, I do pray for many, many to come through this church, many to come throughout the churches of all America and be sent out to the nations. God, I do pray for a harvest, a season of harvest around the world because of laborers who are willing to go. God, I ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, what I want to lead us in just a moment is just an intentional time of prayer, if you will, where we pray for Brant and Kara and their family as they make this transition. In just a moment, I'm going to invite Miss Kathy, if she'll come to the piano. We're going to have our time of invitation, a time of response, and then I'm going to ask our worship team to sing this song in just a moment, and quite honestly, just sing it over us. And specifically, the name of the song is God of the City, and it's really just a collective prayer that that God would work and reach. And Brant said a moment ago, everything from our neighbor to the ends of the world, but specifically in our context, thinking about we're called to the ends of the world, but we're at 1100 North Frankfort Avenue for a reason. I believe one of those reasons, reach this neighborhood, reach this community. I believe one of those reasons with all of my heart is to reach Arkansas Tech University, along with the city as a whole. And so I'm going to ask them just to, in a few moments, just kind of sing that over us. But here's how this time of response is going to go. First of all, a time of response of have you answered the 911 call, the emergency call, the first and foremost. Do you recognize today that Jesus loves you right where you are, that you and I both are sinners, apart from God, separated from God, and the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way that any of us will ever be a part of even the 1% in the UK, the only reason that happens is because they repent, meaning to turn from their sin and place their faith and trust in Jesus and rest in Him and trust Him for salvation. That you and I, we can't do enough good works. We can't answer the other two calls and go to enough places and go to enough hard places and sacrifice and give up enough business or talent, whatever it is, to earn our way into heaven. Doesn't happen that way. The only way you and I will ever enter into heaven is through what Jesus did on the cross for you and for me. And so the Bible says this, says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, listen, you will be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness.
With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And Romans 10:13 says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, right where you are, sitting in this church or watching online, you can simply call out to God, ask forgiveness of your sin, ask Jesus to be the boss of your life, and the Bible says God will come in and He'll save you. And that's how you answer that call. And so there'll be a chance to respond for that. And then I'm just going to lead you in a short guided time of prayer. So if you will, join me and bow your head and close your eyes and just for a moment. And I want to say this, that if you are here this morning and say, Brother Chris, I need that. I need salvation. Then simply call out to Him right where you're at. Ask God to forgive you. Ask Him to be the boss of your life. Give everything to Him. All your time, talent, and treasure. Say, God, it's all yours. You may want to pray something like this, but listen to me. Words of a prayer have never saved anybody, but it's the attitude of your heart. You can pray something like this. Say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, and I will be what you want me to be. I give my life to you. I pray this in Jesus' name, with head bowed and eyes closed and nobody else looking around. If you'd say, Pastor Chris, I prayed that today and I meant it with all my heart, would you look right up here at me? Your main attitude of prayer, but if you pray, amen. Did you pray that? Amen. Anybody else? Say, Brother Chris, I prayed that and I meant it with all my heart. Jesus, I pray in these next few moments that we'd be obedient to you. This morning, as your remain attitude of prayer, we're going to have some intentional time of praying for Brant and Kara. And these are going to go quickly. I'm just going to give them to you just one by one. And you just silently there, just breathe a short prayer for them. First, we want to pray. Would you pray for their health and protection over these next few days and as they start their travel to their new home? Would you pray that they would be able to adjust quickly during this time of transition? Would you pray that Brant and Kara would raise their children in a way that honors Christ? Would you pray that God would raise up godly close friends in their new location? Would you pray that they would find favor among the unreached people of the UK? And would you pray that God would raise up more people to go, and that many would be saved as a result of that call? I'm going to pray in just a moment. Our team's going to come and sing over us, and you just remain seated. You may want to remain in the attitude of prayer and just praying about what God's doing in your heart and in your life. I'm going to be here down front. If you want to talk, you want to visit, you want somebody just to pray with you, maybe you prayed a minute ago and you said, man, I gave my heart and life to Jesus. You come, say, Brother Chris, I prayed that today. Or maybe I just need somebody to pray with me. Whatever it is, you respond to Him and be obedient. You come as they begin to sing in just a moment. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. And we thank you for your goodness and grace. And God, I pray that as we sing and we listen to your heart sung over us, God, that we'd respond in obedience to you. Precious Jesus, we love you and we adore you. We thank you for all things. I pray you'd be honored during this time. I ask this in Jesus' name. Your main attitude of prayer. You listen to the words of this song as they begin to sing.
City, you're the king of this people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in the darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Done in this city. You're the God of this city. You're the King of this people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in the darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Our God. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here. Greater things are still to be done here. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here.
Well, amen. All right. Well, I promise we are concluding now. Just a few things before you dismiss or get out of here. Some of our men are going to get ready to take their position. Just opportunity to give for you as you leave, just by continuing of worship. But I do want to mention a couple things. First of all, to Brant and Kara, we deeply love you guys. We thank God for you. They have, even in their short time here, they have invested deeply in Second Baptist. And brother, we can't say thank you enough. And we are eternally grateful. And just know that you have a second family in Russellville supporting you, cheering you on. Our hope and our prayer is to just help you hold your arms up as you fight to push back darkness. And so, church family, we've already discussed how we can help keep you informed as best we can, what's happening, what's going on, updates, and then you'll hear how we may have opportunities to come alongside them and support them in the work that's happening there. So just be aware of that. Okay, let me give you say a few things and then give you some instructions. First of all, we do have an opportunity to give as we leave here today. We are continuing our summer missions, or our summer giving goal, excuse me. You, Second Family, have done an incredible job in faithfully giving. Our busiest time of ministry is during the summer, which means it takes the most resources. And I want you to know, as you look around Second Family, you see a lot of college students here this morning, several new faces. That's a result of your giving, that you were able to do the ministry and activity, not of just today, but Monday and Thursday, and a lot of things happening in this fall semester because of your faithful giving. And so I want to say thank you for that. You're investing in our city to reach individuals with the gospel of Christ and to invest in others. So I want to say thank you for that. I pray that you'll give as the Lord leads you. Thank God for you being here. If you are a guest that is not a college student today, make sure to fill out one of those cards or go to our website, sbcr.org. Click the button that says I'm new. We do have a gift for you that we want to give you if you're a guest here today. I'd love to meet with you. I'm going to be hanging around just for a few moments. We do have the cookout afterwards. And so let me say a couple things about that. First of all, you don't just have to, we're not going to ask you to show your tech ID, okay? It's for anybody and everybody. Come hang out. Eat a gourmet hot dog and hamburger. It's the finest we could find on Thursday afternoon or whenever we got them, right? So anyway, I hope you'll hang around. Enjoy a hot dog and a hamburger and maybe two or three if we have plenty. I'm sure we do. We will, if you'll excuse my pointing, you can get there a couple different ways. One way, probably the shortest, is you can go through these doors, hang a slight right, and then there's a set of double doors right here that you can go out those doors and all the food and tables. We've got some chairs. We have some big, nice shade trees that are out back to just kind of sit around, sit in the shade. Thankfully, not as hot today as it has been. So hopefully you've made plans to stay, hang out with us. And then finally, let me say, college students, we do have a gift for you today, okay? So if you're not able to hang out and stay, come find me, come find Pastor Jonathan. We'll make sure we do have a gift. We want you to have it. So just come find us, say, hey, I got a roll. I want my gift. So anyway, we'll hook you up. We'll take care of you. And then, hey, come see us tomorrow, 6 o'clock, Involvement Fair. Come say hi. Say, hey, I was there yesterday, if we don't get to connect with you or whatever the case is. All right? Okay, let's stand. I'm going to pray, and we are going to be dismissed. All right? Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. I pray that we'd honor you in all that we say and do today. Lord Jesus, and just thank you for bringing so many guests here today. I pray that you bless them and keep them. We ask you to bless this food and nourish it to our body. Thank you for the hands that prepared it, so many of them worked hard. And God, we just love you and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.